If one goes back, every U.S. president since the days of Richard Nixon did speak about our dependence on foreign oil. And each president have promised that eventually we will not be dependent on foreign oil. So what we are going to be doing today is taking a look at these policy options that were advanced recently by President Obama and as far back as President Nixon. Can we be totally independent in our way of life and not use foreign oil? To set things in perspective, we are an energy-intensive economy in the United States. For each unit of our economic output, we use a great deal of oil. We can turn around and not use any imported foreign oil, but our economic options will be constrained, our economic fortunes will be even much worse. And what I'm going to speak about that we still will need oil, either we produce it ourselves or we get it from somebody else. To put things in perspective, if you take a look at oil consumption in the United States, we consume roughly about 19 million barrels of oil a day. We'll produce roughly no more than 7 million barrels of oil a day. So when you put these numbers in perspective, you begin to understand to meet our needs for energy and oil, we need to import somebody else's oil. Now, if we take a look at where do we get our oil, in the United States, of course, I indicated to you that we use some oil onshore, offshore. And beyond that, of course, we get our oil from Canada, from Mexico, from Saudi Arabia, from Venezuela. So when you put these numbers in perspective, you understand that we are dependent on foreign oil suppliers, some coming from OPEC, the Organization of Petroleum Exporting Countries. Some are coming from friendly and neighborly countries, such as Canada and Mexico. But make no mistake about it, when the price of oil goes up, whether it is OPEC oil or our own oil, or whether it is Canadian or Mexican oil, there is a global market for oil that is uniform. So foreigners are not going to give us cheap oil. Our oil producers are not going to give us cheap oil. So if you take a look at the average price today for a barrel of oil, as of today, it's about $110 for a barrel of oil. That $110, of course, has built into it about $30 of a risk premium. What is a risk premium? It's what market deems that it's going to be risky or costly to get the next barrel of oil. The risk premium is roughly about $30. If you deduct that out of 110, then you begin to understand that oil today should be priced at roughly $80 for a barrel of oil. Now, why is the price so high? If you take a look at the players in the oil market and the sources of oil and the consumption of oil, you begin to see some indication of why do we have a high price for every barrel of oil. Now, the oil consumers, be it the Chinese or be it now the Indians, who are competing with us, China today is the second largest consumer of oil after us. They have an emerging, burgeoning economy that needs oil. So as a result of that, of course, they are going to be competing with us for the same barrel of oil that we are in need of. So we need to think about how can we secure our share of this global market of oil and hopefully manage to have access to oil. And that's what I intend to explain at a more detail what I'm talking about. If you take a look at the average production cost for a barrel of oil, in the Middle East, it's $5. In the United States, it's anywhere from 15 and up. If you think of the oil shale coming from Canada, it needs to be roughly at least $30 or $40. So when you begin to take a look at the numbers, you see that oil prices allow us to have a group of players, which are the oil producers of the Middle East, have a comparative advantage over the rest of us. Now, of course, in the Middle East, there is always one certainty, and that certainty is political instability. And there have always been a premium on the future barrel of oil coming out of the Middle East. The Middle Eastern oil producers, as well as the Caspian Sea producers and Kazakhstan, among others, are sitting on two-thirds of known petroleum reserves of this planet. We only have 4% of known petroleum reserves, but we consume almost one quarter of daily consumption on this planet. Roughly today, we are producing 88 million barrels of oil a day. All of us are consuming the same that we are producing. So if supply and demand are in balance, then you ask, why should the oil price go higher? The oil price goes higher every day because there is an anticipation that tomorrow's barrel of oil is going to cost a little more. We don't know what the other issues that surround political instability in the region. We also are going to have to understand that China and India, as new arrivals to the global economy, are in need of far more oil. So these are the overall determinant of why do we have an increase in the price of a barrel of oil. And the next question we need to ask ourselves, what can we do about that? Naturally, if you take a look at the players in the oil market, you have the familiar names of Exxon, Shell, Chevron, BP. And these companies produce and sell a lot of oil, and they make a lot of money at it. 2 days ago, Exxon published their numbers. Quarterly profits were roughly about $11 billion. Over a year, this year, Exxon will be making roughly $40 billion. In addition to Exxon, everybody else will be making far more money simply because of the factors that we spoke about. The political uncertainty and the speculators have added $30 to the price of each barrel of oil. And these companies have already bought their oil, but nevertheless, they are pricing it as if the new barrel of oil is going to continue to stay at the same level that it is today. So with these in mind, what can we do in order for us to begin to understand that this global oil market, oil is strategic, it's important for all of us. When its price goes higher, naturally it's going to impact not our transportation needs, but also our other things that goes into petrochemicals. From CDs to other products, they have lots of petrochemicals. And when the price of a barrel of oil goes higher, it translates itself throughout the market. Your food will cost you a little more simply because the trucker who's bringing your food is going to have to pay more for their oil. And as a result of that, of course, we begin to see this ripple effect throughout the market. So given that, what is it that we can do as a society that is dependent on oil, domestic and foreign, to bring about some of these changes? For one, we can ask and look into the mode of strategic linkages between the oil producers and the companies that sell you gasoline, the retail outlet. The largest oil producer on this planet is Saudi Arabia. One company, Aramco by itself, produces 8, 9, 10 million barrels of oil a day within this global market, approaching, of course, 88 million barrels. These guys naturally are producing at an average price of $5. They need to sell their oil to their retailers. The retail buyers are here in the United States. It's you and I who need this specific oil. So can we create a framework whereby the largest oil producers from the oil producing states, from Kuwait, Saudi Arabia, and other countries, whose average production cost is very low, to engage and link with our retail outlets in the American market. At your next street corner, hopefully, you may be able to see a sign that says Exxon, maybe Exxon Aramco. And for that situation whereby you have oil producers producing oil at $5 for a barrel, wanting to get closer to their customers, you and I, the largest consumers of oil on this planet. So you create what is known as market-to-market transactions, where companies coming from state-owned sources in the Middle East and North Africa, linking with privately traded oil companies here, whether they are Shell and few other companies. So these market-to-market would probably give us some possibilities of having access to an oil that is priced at a lower price than what we see today. Another reason we can think about some possibilities that maybe tomorrow could be a better place for access to oil markets is to take a look at the Middle East and North Africa. If you take a look at the production of oil from the Middle East and North Africa, it needs to go through strategic waterways, the Gulf, as well as the Suez Canal. And, of course, if you take a look today in the Middle East and across from the Suez Canal and the Gulf oil producers, you will see U.S. military ships with individuals sitting around watching the flow of oil from that specific region. The oil that is produced in the Middle East and North Africa arrives to world markets courtesy of the protection of the U.S. Navy. So could we, as a country, needing to have access to this strategic commodity, ask the oil producers, the Saudis, the Kuwaitis, and some of them who are our friends and dependent on us strategically, to pay into a fund for the protection of the oil that leaves their shores. And that fund will be ultimately used to look into alternative energy and other ways through which oil prices may not be as high as they are today. So that is another solution. So in addition to the solution that we are looking at market to market, we are also looking at state to state, government to government. The current administration can ask the oil producers, the ones who we helped in Kuwait when Saddam Hussein invaded that specific country and we had to go defend them, and the Saudis who are dependent on us. And today, our ships are standing across in the Mediterranean, across from Libya. We can ask for these arrangements, which would allow us to have access to a strategic commodity such as oil. That would be the other solutions. So if you want to take a look at mitigating the impact of high oil prices, we are looking into market-to-market, strategic alliances between oil companies coming from the Middle East as well as our companies here. We can begin to look at strategic linkages and the provision, of course, of protection for these exports of oil coming out on ships from Kuwait, Saudi Arabia, and elsewhere. If we put all these together, we begin to create a situation where the structure for a pricing for a fair oil may be desirable and may help us. Next time when we drive into a gasoline station, our shocks are likely to be much less than they would be. Finally, I'd like to speak about a number of other situations that would allow us to become consumers with behavioral tendencies that would allow us naturally to control in a small way the increase in the price of oil. We can become energy efficient. We can begin to look onto alternative modes of transportation which would lower the price of oil. We can begin, of course, to understand that all the fixes that we have out there are no more than fixes. Next time you hear your officials in the United States government speaking about not being dependent on foreign oil, you should know it is not correct. We will always be dependent, at least in the short term and long term, on foreign oil, coming from countries that we don't subscribe to their notions of governments, but nevertheless, they produce oil, they need to sell it, and we need to buy it. So if we begin to be careful about reducing our consumption of oil, particularly in the transportation sector, we begin to move in the right direction. There have been also a lot of discussions today about other sources. Of course, biofuels are going to be the fix that would allow us to walk away from high oil prices. The numbers are not there yet. So biofuels will be higher. And finally, of course, if you take a look at all these options, you need to be focusing on looking at the role of government, market to market, and the role of consumers. If we do that together, we are likely to see at least oil prices increasing at a much smaller rate than we have seen for the last 2-3 decades. Ohio is the 7th largest exporting state in the Union. We export a lot of things. We are also dependent on oil as well as other imports into the United States as well as exports. With that in mind, thank you and have a good day. Bye-bye.